Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, welcome back to another episode of All Talk with Jason, Mike. And can I start by saying how much Mike and I genuinely appreciate the privilege of your attention. And Mike Minogue, it's good to see you, mate. You're sounding a bit husky.
Yeah, I am a little bit husky, aren't I? It sounds like I've come down with something.
Yeah.
But I don't think I have. I think it's just a little bit of, you know, nicotine, a bit of smoke at the back of the throat there, just working its magic, phlegming me up.
Yes. Well, there has been those who have suggested, actually, that the only reason you're doing this podcast is so that you can leave Waiheke Island, where you reside, of course, and hang out with me and smoke durries away from your lovely wife. Because I've noticed, interestingly enough, when you do have a cigarette here, when we're doing the podcast, you wear rubber gloves, you've got scarves all around your head, you cover yourself. Is that to hide the incriminating stench of cigarettes from your beloved?
Well, since you've brought it up, Jace, the person that's brought that up and suggested that is the reason, it's you that suggested that. But it's an untruth.
Right, okay.
And I won't allow an untruth. And the only reason I've got a bit of a smoker's cough is because I hang around with you.
Right.
And you're knocking over 40 to 50 a day, and I have to breathe it in. So this huskiness that you can hear in my voice is a direct result and is proof that sort of being in the same room as a habitual, horrific, scummy, miserable smoker can have an effect on other people's health, which is a real shame.
Well, it is a real shame, mate, and I apologise if that is the case. And to be fair to you, she's pretty cloudy in here in the studio at the moment, and, you know, I'll try and be cognizant of that fact the next time we do a podcast, and I'll make sure that I do my wheezing and my fagging and my durrying outside said studio.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the only way I can get my
hurt. Oh, right, you're second hand.
I notice that you hate to have a cigarette out, don't you? You light one off the last one, you're just constantly going. I imagine you sitting at home and you're lazy boy, with your feet up, reclined, glasses on the tip of your nose, cup of tea in your hand, and just your jersey just littered with ash.
Yes, very much so. Don't forget, don't leave out the holy trackies as well. You know, I've got my trackies that I like to wear when I'm on the lazy boy.
Right.
And I do have ash all over my chest, but I've got a fantastic ashtray built into the arm of the lazy boy there, which is extremely helpful. But listen, mate, I tell you what, we have been once again inundated from all of our fans out there with a number of questions, with seeking our advice, praising the podcast. Mm. But the thing I have been hugely excited about, Mike, and I don't know if you've noticed this, is the amount of female listeners we have at the moment. Mm. And I can honestly say that 4 or 5 female listeners have got in touch with me, and that's encouraging to me. I mean, to be fair, they've all hated the podcast. But the fact that they've made the effort in the first place, I find a really positive sign looking forward for the podcast.
Well, it means you're connecting, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, and if somebody's taken the time out of their very busy schedule to contact us to tell us that they hate our show, I regard that as some sort of success.
Yes, I think so. Mm. I think that's a plus in our column. Just on that, incidentally, Mike and I have been discussing the prospect of doing a woman's issue, a segment in the show where we specifically deal with women's issues. And, you know, as we've said in the past, both being men of experience, I think that could be a really beneficial thing for our female listeners.
Well, that's right. So often when it comes to women's issues, you sort of find that the ones giving the advice are other women.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's really the way to go. Because
they don't have the perspective, do they? And I think in order to give good advice, you need to be somewhat removed from the situation. And I think when women answer other women's problems, there is that emotional connection that they have that sometimes can distort and indeed cloud some of the advice that they're attempting to give.
That's right. They can't see the forest for the emotional trees.
Yes.
Yeah, and they're all in the sort of the same forest here. So what we'll be able to do is get above that forest and look down on the Amazonian.
Through the cigarette smoke.
Yeah, the burning Amazonian issues that are the problems that women are facing, both real and largely imagined.
Yes, indeed. Hey, also I noticed with interest, I saw on Facebook there that Wellington Paranormal is up for a number of awards. You specifically, I noted, aren't up for any awards, but I've already noticed you sort of attaching yourself to the award process, and as soon as I saw that, I thought to myself, oh my God, he's going to be unbearable. There's going to be cashews everywhere.
Well, look, you've read that wrong. So what's happened is there, the awards for the 2020 New Zealand Television Awards, the list of nominees, the finalists have come out, is what Jace is referring to. And I saw that list and it came up and I quickly opened it up and I ran my eye down it. Oh, my name's not there.
Yeah.
Well, there must be some kind of back to the top, down. No, this is Best Actor. Surely I should be in here, not there, huh? There must be some kind of mistake, but assuming there's not, I should very quickly congratulate everybody else.
Yeah, well, that was the thing that I did note, how quick you were to congratulate everyone that was getting an award. But to say it didn't ring true would be a little harsh. But there seemed to be an element of what about me about it, if you know what I mean. And I noticed that you, as I say, you just immediately associated the fact that you, of course, worked on Wellington Paranormal. And as a consequence, as a kind of surrogate second prize, you too have been nominated for said awards.
Yeah, I sort of leached my way on there. Look, I wasn't nominated, mate. And to be perfectly honest, you know, I wasn't surprised. You know, and I don't think you were either. You were quick to point out to me that you were very shocked that I was nominated last year and disgusted that I'd won, if I remember your phrasing correctly. But I am...
I was going to say disgust is too harsh, but actually I don't think it is.
But I think, you know, there's a lot of work goes on behind the scenes. Jace, as you'll know, as a seasoned actor...
You're not going to start taking credit for behind the scenes work now, are you?
I just think that the people that put in the work behind the scenes that don't often get the credit deserve. This is their night of nights, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, sure.
So again, just congratulations to the writers who I made look good.
Sure, mate.
And whoever else was nominated.
Yeah, well, congratulations to all those people that have been nominated.
You up for anything this year, mate?
No, Mike, I'm not. But right now, it's time to get into a bit of men's health.
Can you have a look at this, mate? I've got a bit of a lump on me.
Oh, Jesus.
Men's Health with Jason Mike.
Well, here we go. Men's Health, and this is a great one. Hi, guys. Just wondering if Mike's eye is really made of glass. Heard on Boozer, so that must have been some time ago, Mike, that it is, but wasn't sure if it was a yarn over the Instagram there from Henry.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you who don't know, Radio Boozer is a show that Jace was on with Lee Hart on Radio Hodaki some time ago, and highly successful, and this is news to me.
Award-winning, actually.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't like to talk about awards, though, but we did win a lot of awards.
Actually, I vaguely remember you carpet-bombing Facebook once those awards were announced, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I actually had to delete my Facebook account for a couple of months. I was so tired of seeing them. Well, it's a great question. I'll be honest with you here. I didn't know that you'd revealed this about me on the radio.
Well, there's an interesting thing. You've got prominent eyes. Can I say that? and they can... I like it. I'll let the people know, actually. Mike and I at the moment are currently doing a writing course together, aren't we, Mike?
We are.
To improve ourselves as we try and get a television series on air. And I was noticing while we were doing this Zoom writing meeting with about six other potential writers, first and foremost, that you were dressed in your pajamas, which I thought was tremendously unprofessional. But then every now and then you have this disconcerting habit of what I call an eye bulge, or where your eyes suddenly go wide, you know. And I liken it, you remember old movies, for example, where perhaps a damsel in distress faints and they put the smelling salts under the nose and they recoil back. It's sort of similar to that, or very similar to someone who suddenly smashed a line of speed.
Well, you would have noticed during that writing class, Jace, that when my eyes did bulge out of my sockets, it's when you'd come out with some line of horse shit.
Oh, is that what it was?
I was sort of recoiling at the words that were emanating from your mouth. I was sort of shocked.
Yeah. I thought I had some quite good ideas. Are you talking about the accountant?
No, you did. But also there was, you're talking about me and my pajamas, but at least I was wearing something. The first time my eyes bulged was when you got out of your chair to go and get your cup of tea, and you were wearing nothing downstairs.
Yeah, well, that was just one of those scenarios because I was running late. I just came straight from the shower to the actual writing course, and I was a little bit frantic. You know, I get a little bit frazzled by technology,
yeah.
And so I was busy trying to get into the Zoom meeting and completely forgot about pants.
Yeah,
but I didn't realise that I'd actually stood up and revealed that. But it's good to know, because they were weird with me at the end of that first session. I felt
well. I quite liked seeing one because it reminded me of what a normal one does look like.
Yes. As opposed to your chewed up
half sausage
chorizo, but so are you saying then emphatically to Henry over the Instagram that it is not in fact a glass eye?
No, I'm not saying that. I believe the question was that I didn't know that you'd revealed it on air, and then you went into a long diatribe about me having bulging eyes without ever getting to the point that it was raised on your radio show.
Right, I see.
We sort of got sidetracked into you criticizing me and bagging me for having bulging eyes.
Well, they're not bulging all the time. It's just you have this, as I say, it's very similar. You'll be looking perfectly normal and sitting there very normally, and then all of a sudden it's like someone's put some smelling salts under your nose and you just recoil back. It's, to be honest, a little bit alarming and off-putting.
It's a similar look, actually, as when you're getting your prostate examination.
Very similar.
You know,
I tend to have a bit of bulgy eye when that happens as well.
Yeah.
A few other things bulging when that happens. But fascinating stuff, isn't it?
You revealed it on Bougie that I had a glass eye, and I just wondered where you got that information.
I think it was just something that Lee had heard, actually,
right.
And he put it out there just to, in the hope, I guess, that someone in the audience might have the answer to the actual question of whether, in fact, you did in fact have a glass eye.
Sure. Okay. Well, I have got an issue with my eye, my left eye. I was hit in the eye with a skyrocket when I was 18.
Wow.
I was at a party. A mate of mine was boozed, and he was behind me going, "Mike, Mike, 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 Mike," but I was trying to persuade a young lady that I was interested in at the time. So it was about the ninth mic before I turned around, and what I didn't know is that he'd put a skyrocket into a beer bottle and it was pointing it at my head.
I see, yeah.
And so by the time, his idea was that when I turned around, he would point the beer bottle elsewhere and it would go away. But because I took so long to turn around, when I did, it was too late for him to move the bottle, and I was struck directly on the eyeball.
Which eyeball was it? The left one?
My left eye.
Well, because that's weird. It's the right one that's weird. So can I, just to set the record straight here, so a skyrocket went straight into your left eye.
That's right.
At full volume.
High speed.
Okay.
And it laid me out. And it gave me a traumatic cataract, which had to be cut out.
Yes.
And
you've had some medical traumas in your life, haven't you? That's
only a couple of them.
Right.
And so since then, I'm down to about 20% vision. As a result of that, it was getting progressively worse. So the sight was diminishing. And as with my mother, who didn't know that you're meant to clean out the foreskin.
Yes.
You know, which led to my disfigurement. I wasn't told that I was meant to be giving the eye an eye bath, a saline washout. So my eyeball actually started rotting out as well.
Far out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So eventually they did put a glass eye in there.
Yes.
And it's been in there probably, what was that? That was 2003, so 22 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Oh, no,
because
17 years,
as so. I say, if I was going to pick an eye in terms of what eye was the munty one, I would have gone for your right one.
Yeah.
But you're actually saying that it's your left eye that is the munty one.
Yeah.
And that actually looks the most normal to me. So there you go. So I hope that answers your question. Was it Henry on the Instagram?
Yeah, I think it's got an I at the end, so I think it's Henri.
Henri, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice. All right, shall we get into a bit of relationship advice,
Sounds
Mike?
Good.
I think she's cheating on me.
It's relationship advice with Jace and Mike. So I just got this this fantastic letter in here from Ginny on the email. And it begins, "Hi fellas, my boyfriend and I have been together for a year, but the only time we seem to relax in each other's company is after a few drinks. Truth be told, I don't find him attractive until I near the bottom of my first bottle of wine."
Yeah.
"Is this normal?" And that's Ginny on the email. What's your experience there, mate?
Oh, look, I think I can relate. I've certainly been in a lot of relationships where the woman that I've been dating have drunk very heavily in my presence. And there, if I'm being totally honest about it, there have been times where I have thought to myself, are they doing that because they really actually can't stand me? It's like, you know, before you have to go and do something you're not looking forward to, like, for example, making love to me, they have to sort of fortify themselves against the prospect. And, you know, they might go through 1-2 bottles of wine before they even consider the fact that they'll make love to me. What about yourself?
Look, I've had experiences where I've been in the company of somebody where it's been unbearable. And I've thought, look, the only way I'm going to be able to get through this is if I get drunk.
Yes.
Then the problem that I had was that the person that I was with, then they wanted to start drinking as well. And being of a smaller stature, got drunker faster than me and was even more annoying than the sober version.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a lose-lose situation, really, that one. But in the case...
That was your fourth wife, if I recall, if I'm being specific about it.
I think, no, that was number three. She was number three.
Oh, number three,
I wasn't going to start pointing fingers, but yeah, that ended sooner than it began, almost, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It seemed like a good idea at the time, the getting married.
Yeah, well, can I ask, I mean, how did you find yourself in that situation in the first place? Like, presumably, if you don't find someone attractive, you don't tend to marry them.
Well, I think you can be attractive on a, and you won't know this, Jace, but some people are attracted to you on a physical level.
Sure. Sure.
And so your biological intuition and instincts, that can lead you down the wrong garden path.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
So
you're being driven, in essence, by lust.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I remember you talking about your second wife, and I could never understand that particular relationship. And I remember a lot of people at the time were going, that's such a weird partnership.
Yeah.
And you were saying to me that, in essence, you were pissed the entire time. As a way of, well, firstly getting into the relationship and then ending up marrying her.
Yeah, and then staying in it.
And staying in the relationship.
Yeah, and as soon as I sobered up, I got divorced.
Yes.
But she divorced me because she didn't like the sober me.
No, not at all.
No, I was happy to stay in it.
Well, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, I imagine the pissed you is slightly more amicable and friendly, but the sober you probably got a harsher streak, probably says what you mean, you know, say what you mean type thing, and probably destroyed her very fragile emotional state.
Well, I was a younger man then as well, so yes. I was a bit more blunt.
Yeah.
I've softened over the years, Jace, which is weird because I know that you've
actually... We all soften over the years, mate.
I hear that, you know, you've become more miserable as time's gone by, which doesn't bode well, does it? I mean, you've still got plenty of years left in front of you. So,
well, one would hope so, Mike. But, you know, this is the interesting thing, like, with my wife at the moment, is that when we first met, she didn't drink.
Right.
And now she's a cask of wine a night. So, you know, it does make you question what's going on when that's kind of happening.
Yeah, I think, really, Ginny, it's more normal than you'd think. It's probably a lot more common than you would have heard, but that doesn't mean it's something that you should stick with. I mean, for me, I guess it really depends on the quality of the wine.
Sure.
If you're drinking a really nice drop of wine, then why wouldn't you want to get drunk every day?
Yeah.
If you're drinking trash wine, then you might want to rethink it. And is it affecting your bank balance? Are you spending all your money on this really good wine?
Well, this is the thing, and that's a really good point that you make, because when you're in a marriage and you're just not into your partner at all, in fact, you despise them, there has to be the consistency of drinking in order to get through it.
Yeah.
And that's very hard to do if you're buying quality wines all the time, whereas if you get your cask wine, you know, you can sort of, it's not such a painful dent on the back balance.
Totally right.
Bank balance.
And the problem that I find with a bottle of wine is when you're in an unbearable conversation with your partner and you nip out to the kitchen and rip the top off the bottle of wine, it takes forever to glug it down. Whereas with the cask, you can open the fridge door, you've already got the cask perched over the shelf, you can just stick your head in, turn the tap on, and just go for your life. And by the time you walk back out into the lounge, you've warmed your hearth somewhat.
Yeah, you're as pissed as a chook. But yeah, as you were saying, Mike, and I actually agree with this, I think it's way more common than we think in terms of people drinking simply to be able to exist in their relationships.
Absolutely. And I will say, though, Ginny, I think you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. And I'll say this about a lot of the letters that we get in. People out there, you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. You've been in this relationship with your boyfriend for a year, and now the only time you find him attractive is when you've had a bottle of wine. Is this normal? After a year, yes.
Mm.
I mean, the sex should have practically dried up by now anyway. If you've been in that relationship for a full 12 months, you know, if you're having it more than once a month, you know, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
So if you're having to drink to have sex with them, just don't drink and don't have sex with them.
Yes.
And that's normal. Is that your experience, Jase?
Yeah, it is my experience, actually. You know, and I think about my own drinking, of course, in that regard. And when I first started dating my wife, I guess, or courting, you know, I didn't drink at all. But ever since we've been married, it's just gradually, incrementally increased.
Yeah.
Very parallel to the levels of pain and disquiet I feel about being in said marriage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And the disillusionment. And you talked about, you know, that I'm getting more melancholic as I get older. And it's true, as you realize that, you know, you're in this relationship, you're drinking very, very heavily, you're increasingly unhappy, and thus you have to drink more. It's just a downward spiral, isn't it?
Yeah. It's good fun, though, eh? Good times.
It's good fun.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. So what was her name?
Ginny on the email there. So, you know, just to wrap it up, once again, Ginny, just don't put too much pressure on yourself. You know, the question that you're asking yourself is, do you enjoy drinking, A, and do you enjoy having sex with your boyfriend, B? If the answer to either of those is no, then just stop doing both of them. And if it's yes to one and no to the other, then just do the one to allow the other one to take place.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, a lot of people say, Jase, that it's hard to give up drinking, and that if you're excessively drinking every single day for many, many years, you can find yourself in a very dark place. But that might be different for you, so give it a go.
Yeah, I'd say give it a whack. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, in terms of your bank balance, you really need to go your cask wine, particularly when you're getting to that massively heavy drinking period.
Yeah.
You know, after the first sort of 5 years of your marriage, that sort of between the 5 and 10 year mark, I believe, is when I started drinking cask.
Yeah. And also, does your boyfriend like, I'm getting the feeling, Ginny, that you're sort of in your mid 20s, does your boyfriend like smoking? Because a lot of millennials now, they hate smoking.
Yeah.
So take up smoking.
Yeah.
If you're reeking of cigarettes, he's not going to want to come near you. And then when you get into big arguments about there not being enough sex, you can lay the blame directly at his feet.
Oh, look, and I'll tell you what else. There's nothing like a cask wine power chunder to actually, you know, really put your partner off as well. A big sort of outpouring of cheap red wine from the cask.
Especially when you're in the woman astride position.
Yes, very much so. So there you go, Ginny. Thanks for the letter, though. We certainly appreciate it. And a really good question, wasn't it?
A really good question. Keep them coming.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
But I'll tell you what we're going to get into now, and that's sports.
He's been doing it all day, Rev.
It's over.
Run, 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 run. Kick.
Sports Chat with Jason Mike.
So I've got this email that's come in here, Jace. G'day, guys. I don't really want to hear a couple of old men talk sports when they've never played a game of rugby in their lives. Sure, cricket's fine, but soccer? Just keep your opinions to yourselves. And that's from Phyllis in Uganda.
Well, first and foremost, can I just say how excited I am that we've been given a message all the way from Uganda. And it just goes to show, doesn't it, Mike, that this podcast is spreading like a virus throughout the world. It's really encouraging to us to know that Phyllis from the Uganda is listening. And I think she makes, to some degree, a fair point.
Yeah, it's the home of podcasts, they say, Uganda, the birthplace.
Yes. Well, you know, there's been a lot of people actually that question why Mike and I should be talking about sport. And I believe we addressed in our first podcast, Mike, actually, hang on a second, fellas, what gives you two the right to talk about sports? And I thought we covered that off pretty well myself.
Well, we did. We talked about our experiences as youths, yourself in Rotorua and myself in Levin, playing football, soccer, when we were growing up, and the incredible amount of skill that we had in that area. Then that wasn't enough for the listeners. They wanted to hear about our cricket pedigree, which we discussed in the next episode. And now we've been questioned about rugby, because apparently rugby is the only sport in this country. But were you a big rugby guy growing up?
Yeah, look, I was captain.
Because New Zealand, of course, is the home of rugby,
isn't
it?
Absolutely, it is. It is the home of rugby. And so that's why I understood Phyllis's question, actually, because it makes sense to me. Because in New Zealand, we don't like talking soccer, do we? It's always considered a slightly camp sport.
You know,
for
every
reason.
Time you bring up your your goalkeeping career, I think, Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, well, you were talking about the fact that what a great striker you were, and I found that tedious. So it's interesting that we actually ended up talking about soccer, given that you hated my stories and I hated yours.
Yeah, I was being polite.
But I think it is a very good point, because New Zealand is a rugby mad nation.
Yeah.
I was captain of the third 15 rugby.
How many kids at your school?
300. And I think I may have even mentioned this before.
150 of those were girls?
150 girls, yeah. And we did it by weight back then. So I was a seventh former, and I was captain of the third 15 rugby. And I think I've mentioned before, the rest of the team were all third formers, because they were the same size as me. But what I can tell you is that I was a great skipper, that I led from the front, that I took it up the guts, that I cleared out those rucks, and I knew what I was about on the field.
What position did you play?
I was usually on reserve, but when I got on, usually your nippy little halfback or your chatty first five. I did play open side flanker for a little while, but that was just a disaster.
10 minutes in the second half.
Yeah, 10 minutes in the second half. We actually had a rule, actually, for our particular team.
That you weren't allowed in the showers.
Well, that as well, but also, because we used to get a hiding from every team we played. Like, we literally would get a hiding. And we made a rule that if we were getting beaten by 50 points or more, then we'd just start a fight.
We had the same rule.
Yeah.
We had the same rule, yeah.
It's like we're clearly being humiliated here, so just throw a couple of wild haymakers after a line-out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
just close the eyes and throw that big swinging fist.
The idea being, that you've lost the game, but you'll win the fight.
Exactly.
Now, the problem with that, of course, is that you're the only one over 13 years of age in that team.
Yeah.
And probably playing against guys that are, fairly handy.
It added to the humiliation, because not only were you getting beaten by 50 points, but most of the time you were getting the shit beaten out of you as well. So, even though it was in an attempt to lift team spirits by getting to a fight, often what would happen is that a third former would get smacked in the face and just start crying.
Yeah.
And, that's not a good look on any rugby field.
And what I heard was happening there was that you'd be playing, and you get subbed off, and as you were walking off the field, you'd put the captain's call out, fight, and you'd go and sit on the bench.
Yes.
And just watch your teammates get pounded.
Yeah, well, I was known, actually, when I was being subbed off, to throw the haymaker just as I was leaving the field, and so I often didn't even get involved in the fight.
And
I just started the fight.
And weirdly, you would punch the person that was subbing you off.
Yes. Yeah.
Which isn't great for team morale.
Well, it's just a way of getting them fired up for the battle. Because let's be honest, if you're playing a game of rugby, you can't be doing it half-assed, Mike.
No, that's right.
You have to be going in there, you know, full volume, full rage, and ready to hoe in from the beginning.
And nothing fires you up more than getting a punch in the face from your own captain before you've even played a minute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think in that regard, we have everyone. Oh, I mean, what was your experience with rugby?
Well, you know, I played...
I could see you being a wily lock.
Well, I tell you what, when I did the haka and I got my eyes a-bulging...
Oh, yes.
When I got my eyes a-bulging, the opposition knew that they were in for a bit of a fight.
Yeah.
That
would be pretty freaky, you know, watching you do a haka with your eyes bulging out, to be fair. I'd find that intimidating myself.
And if I hadn't worn my undies that day and they had the short shorts and the, you know, old mate was sticking out the bottom.
Yes.
Fearsome.
Yeah.
Fearsome sight.
So you doing the haka with bulging eyes and your chewed up genitalia hanging out your shorts. I mean, that's going to put off any opposition member. Well, I don't care who you are.
It wasn't hanging out the whole time, but just at the end when you jump in the air and you go, hey, you know, you put your arms above your head and tuck your knees back and go, hey.
Yes.
It'll just dip out the bottom there. Oof. Anything that'll take their mind off the game.
Yeah, sure.
And that'll confuse them straight away. But I played, as I said, soccer, and then I went to St. Patrick's Silverstream.
I know the school.
For a year of boarding, and it was really frowned upon that you'd play soccer. You know, back in those days, they used to call it a gay sport and, you know, your sexuality and all that sort of stuff. Well, I didn't even have a sexuality at that point. I didn't know
You had the whole genitalia issue.
And I still didn't have any pubes.
Right, yeah.
So that was an issue.
When did they happen for you?
Well, you know, the thing about it is you remember not having them. You don't remember when they came in.
I do.
You remember when mine came in?
Oh, not when yours came in. I can remember when mine came in.
Oh.
It was a great day. It was a great day. And it was the same time my voice changed. But anyway, carry on. I digress.
Well, mine didn't come in until the end of third form anyway, because I spent the entire third form hiding myself away in the showers, you know, open showers with other boys. And, you know, any weakness would be pursued to the ends of the earth, and you'd sort of be bullied any way you could be. So,
well, I look at you and what you were dealing with there. I mean, the fact that it was already a grotesque situation, you know, and the fact that you were pubeless, that you would have been mercilessly attacked at school.
Well, worse than pubeless, they were blonde.
Oh,
you remember,
no.
You used to have the blondies.
I can never respect any man with blonde pubes. You know, I don't know, I just cannot, for the there's something wrong about a man having blonde pubes.
What about New Zealand kayaker Ian Ferguson?
Oh, no, he's all right.
Yeah, he's got great pubes, really great pubes. So anyway, we got down there and thought, oh, I'd better play rugby. So I signed up for rugby, and the coach was Mr. Lelivre. And it didn't go very well. I was playing on the wing, I think, and they never passed the ball out.
Right, okay.
So I just didn't bother playing anymore. And then once I got back to Horowhenua College, I started playing there, I think, in the seventh form it was. And, I was in the second 15 because I wasn't available for trials. And then I got called up to the first 15.
Yes.
Played a couple of games for the first 15.
Can you remember what position you played?
I played wing for the first 15.
See, I don't see you as a winger.
Oh, I'm extremely fast.
Are you?
Oh, I'm quick. I'm probably not as quick now at 43 as I was at, you know, 17.
That would have been the fact that you were quick was because you were so used to escaping for being attacked for having no pubes. Would that have been why you were so fast?
Well, yeah, and also people were sort of going after me with a pitchfork because I thought I was some kind of witch because of my genitalia.
And your bulgy eye thing. Yeah. Well, that's understandable.
They're always trying to drown me.
Yeah. Well, they used to, interestingly enough, when I was in, you know, Form 1 and Form 2 at my school, Dilworth School, they used to have hoit hunts. That's what they were called. And because I had a stepbrother that was going to the school as well, and he was about 4 or 5 years ahead of me. And so I'd be on the playground and you'd hear, hoit hunt! And this group of seniors would just run after me and beat the crap out of me and then throw my sandals on the roof. True story, that.
So just around the rugby thing, I played and I was by no means great. But I thoroughly enjoyed the rugby. Loved the rugby.
I can see you being massively enthusiastic and extraordinarily unco.
Yeah, I was falling over. I'd tackle my own players.
Like a newborn...
Because the other thing is I'm colourblind, which I haven't mentioned before. Oh, so right. I have a real issue telling the difference between players' jumpers. So I was always tackling, you know...
Your own players.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Which didn't endear me to my teammates.
Are you really colourblind?
Yeah.
Okay. Was that because of the thing that happened with the firework, or is that something that you've had from birth?
Well, weirdly, I mistake whites for blacks.
Right, okay.
So, well, I thought I didn't have any. I thought my pubes were white. They were black.
So you're
they were black the whole
colourblind.
Time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Because you do realise, of course, being colourblind, that that precludes you from the army.
Yeah, and I've also got flat feet.
Yeah, so have I,
have
strangely.
You?
I've got flat feet, but I'm not colourblind.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's nothing about me that really screams, you know, physical specimen. I am a specimen. Like, back in the day, I'd be in one of those travelling circuses.
Yes, yes. Know. Well, I was going to say, you know, I'd consider you a specimen in the sense of the sort of specimens you get in, like, a jar at the museum. You know what I mean? It'd
yeah.
have to be a very elongated and long jar, to be fair.
That's right. It's the sort of thing, like, if you saw me as a physical specimen in the jar and it was behind a curtain, then, you know, the people would be sitting out in their wooden chairs and then they'd draw back the curtain, everybody's eyes would bulge out.
Yes. Exactly. The horror show that is Mike Minogue. Well, this is all great stuff, mate.
I think we've got one more that we can fit
do?
In. Yeah, we're going to fit in one more, and this is the pets
oh,
chat.
Oh, yes.
Is that dog doing a shit on my lawn?
Pet advice with Jason Mike. Kia ora, team. I bought a parakeet for my son, thinking it would be an easy pet to maintain, but it's turned into a nightmare. It never stops squawking and has chewed most of its feathers out, so rather than having a beautiful plumage, it looks like a size 1.5 chicken before it gets thrown in the oven. I want to kill it, but worry that my son might be upset. Help, Matthias on the Instagram. What a great question that is, Mike.
That is a great question. I've never really understood why people keep a bird.
No, neither have I. I despise birds.
Well, to me, the beauty of the bird is the flying.
Yes.
Now, if you're taking away the flying, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You're sticking it in a cage. You have to fit. You're just creating work for yourself. You have to clean the cage out.
Yes.
We had a bird when I was younger, a cockatoo or something or other. Guess what we called it?
Cockatoo?
Just cocky.
Oh, cocky, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mum came up with that. She acted like it was my idea, but it wasn't. But you're constantly having to clean out the cage.
Yes, and particularly your cockatoo, they're big shitters.
They love a dump.
Yeah.
Even if you don't feed them anything.
Yeah.
Which is what we tried to slow it down a bit, but it just squawked more and shat more, which was weird.
Yeah, and not only that, not only are birds horrific on the shitting front, but also, particularly when you're feeding them the seeds, there's always seeds everywhere. You know what I mean? There's seeds all over the floor. There's seeds all around the cage. It's a bit of a nightmare. But just in reference to the fact that this is obviously a very unhappy bird.
Yeah.
The fact that it's pecking itself to death really tells you that there's some issues going on that may need some sort of veterinary expertise.
Well, the trouble with taking these pets, you know, these birds, to a vet is it costs a lot of money.
It does.
And do you really want to invest money on a parakeet that's chewed most of its feathers out? Just to save your son a bit of upset?
Mm.
Because the idea of pets is, you know, they're kept purely for human satisfaction, aren't they?
Yes.
You know, sure, they've got their right to life, blah, blah, blah. But really they're to teach your children about the circle of life.
Mm.
And that with life and love for your pets, at the end of that comes death. So what you're doing with having pets is you're preparing your child for the fact that you will one day die.
Yes.
So you're just giving them a little taste of that, a little taste. So that's why you bought the bird in the first place. So this bird's going to die anyway. So I think the question we go with here is, how do we kill the bird?
Yes.
To make it, you know, a good lesson for your son, not too disturbing for your son, but just to speed the process up anyway. It's only going to last a couple of years anyway. Let's just speed things up a bit. So what would be the best way?
To actually kill the bird.
Yeah, I mean, you could leave it to its own devices, but I think the most traumatic thing there would be, you know, watching a bird on a day-to-day basis slowly pecking itself to death. I mean, there's probably no slower way to go than that.
No.
But it is nature.
And that's pretty traumatic as well. Well, it's nature. I mean, you don't see, generally speaking, birds in the wild pecking themselves to death. You know, you'd have to assume because this poor bird is locked in a cage with no food and it's shitting everywhere and it's having to walk in its own feces, that is contributing somehow to its unhappiness.
Yeah, maybe it's a bit stressed out.
Yeah.
It never stops squawking. I can give you a tip on that because it is annoying.
Yes.
What we used to do was just throw a blanket over the cage 24/7.
Yeah.
So when you throw a blanket over the cage.
Is it a heavy blanket, Mike, so that there's no light gets
in? You can't have any light in there. That's key.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you put the heavy blanket over the cage, the bird thinks it's night.
Yes.
I mean, these things are, they're thick, you know, yes. they're not very intelligent at all. So you just leave it on there 24/7 and then it just starts sleeping a lot.
Yeah.
It'll sleep 24/7 as well.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think it's a really important point to make, and particularly when, you know, you're dealing with a bird like this, a very heavy, dense blanket over the cage that shuts off all natural light is certainly going to help you with the squawking, because it is sleeping probably in its own feces.
That's right. And also what you would do there is you're getting your son used to seeing the blanket over the cage.
Yes.
Now, eventually what you do is you take that blanket and you soak it in water.
Mm.
And what that will do is it won't just keep out the light now, it'll keep out the majority of the oxygen.
Yes.
And it will just start inhaling its own methane.
Mm.
And that will eventually just gas... we didn't get the bird's note. We'll just gas it to death, and that's fairly humane way to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's obviously quicker ways. I mean, that's quite a drawn out, painful, and miserable death, but in many respects, very humane as well. Just a gradual, slow gassing,
and inexpensive.
You know, because I'm sure everyone's got an old blanket somewhere in the hot water cupboard that you can, you know, chop up a little bit and manufacture to fit the cage properly.
Yeah. Another option you can have is, of course, they've got the perches inside the cage, don't they? So you could fabricate some kind of a fatal fall.
Yes.
The bird has slipped off its perch and snapped its head off.
Yeah. Well. I mean, I don't know if we want a scenario where the bird actually smacks its head off. Maybe that's just, you know, a broken neck, perhaps, rather than fully removing, decapitating the bird would be less traumatic.
Yeah. So that's another option there. I think, it is a tough one, mate. I know it's difficult with your son as well, because you probably love your son and you don't want him to be upset, or maybe he's just annoying when he's upset and you're trying to avoid that. But look, I know from experience that once they get to this stage where they're pecking themselves to death, they don't stop squawking, they're living in filth, they don't clean up their own cage, it's done and dusted.
It's time for the wet blanket.
Yeah, the horse... it's time for the...
Absolutely. So, Matthias, I hope that helps.
All the best with that. Actually, Matthias, just let us know how it goes.
Yeah, do.
And get in touch about that cage as well, because I might be keen to buy that.
Yeah, nice stuff. Hey, well, I tell you what, to all the people that have taken the time to listen, Mike and I greatly appreciate it. Make sure you go on our Insta page. Mike, how else can they get in contact with us?
Well, we've got a couple of ways, mate. We've got, obviously, the Instagram, which is All Talk with Jason Mike. Just jump on there, give us a follow. And also we've got the email, which is alltalkwithjasonmike@gmail.com. Fire us through any compliments you've got, any questions you've got, any advice that you're seeking, anything like that. But also when it comes to the podcast, jump on wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe, like, and give us a review. And that really helps us pump up the charts there. Other than that, I don't know what it does, actually. It doesn't seem to be any benefit.
Just on that, do we have a followers update? I believe we're at zero the last time we checked.
It's skyrocketed.
Can I just ask, on a technical level, do the followers, is that from everyone that listens to the podcast, or are they only followers like on Instagram, for example?
Yeah, they're only followers on Instagram, so they actually have to physically go over there and do the following. So just to give you an update here, 60.
Oh, that's not too bad, is it?
So, well, it was up at 100, and then that second episode came out, and it plummeted.
Oh, it plummeted down again. Yeah. Well, we thought that was going to happen, though, didn't we?
Yeah.
Hey, well, you take care out there. Thanks for taking the time to listen, and we'll be back with another podcast next week.
Cheers, everyone.
Sweet.
Kia ora.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.